Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for each one here. I pray, Father, that you accomplish your work this morning, that your presence will be made very plain and clear, that the things you want each of us to hear will be clearly heard. Father, we know that the world directs us through our eyes, but you speak to us through our ears and our heart. And so, Father, help us to hear and help us to yield and help us to be the people you've called us to be. Father, if there is anyone in this room that has never prayed and asked Jesus in their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would make that decision today to receive you as their Savior, knowing that there is no promise that they have the rest of the day or the rest of the week or the year ahead, but our days are numbered. And so, Father, I do pray that you would encourage them. And wherever else you can give that encouragement to those who are seeking it, I pray, Father, you would give it. And may we walk away today warmed by your Spirit and enlightened by your Spirit. And may our hearts give you praise, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever got a card in the mail where the envelope is not sealed? Oftentimes, it's especially like Christmas cards and stuff, and they're folded in the back and tucked in. What if I had wrote a $1,000 check and put it in here, slid it in the envelope, and just stuck it in the mail, but I didn't lick the back, I didn't seal the back? Or even if I folded it in to make it a little bit more secure, would I be secure about that $1,000 check? It's a funny thing. It's just an envelope. And that check is in there, and it has its destination. The address is on the envelope. It's going where it's going to go. But because I didn't lick the back of the envelope to seal it shut, I feel less secure, less assured. There's the thought that maybe somebody would go, oh, this isn't sealed. I wonder what's in here. Or maybe it'll get lost, or maybe it'll get caught in the mail, you know, the processing system of the machinery, and get caught. I mean, we've gotten envelopes in the mail before that are torn because they've got caught into the runners for the mail, right? Well, I think in a lot of ways, this envelope represents baptism. You know, what are you talking about? How does that represent baptism? You see, we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We can know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he was buried, that he rose from the grave, that he's alive today, that he's in heaven, and we've asked God to forgive us for our sins and come into our heart, and we are saved by faith in Christ, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But if we don't follow through with baptism, there's a little bit of an insecurity about that decision. Because sometimes that baptism is that sealing factor. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Don't get confused with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's a follow-through on a step of obedience. It's a follow-through that says, I am making a public proclamation of my faith in Christ, as Christ commanded me to do so. All of us. I'm going to look a little bit further to what I mean and why that's so important, how it affects you. Because as I look around the room, I think most of you, if not all of you, I don't know all of you, but most of you are believers that have been baptized. And baptism comes after your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior. If you know baptism before that, it doesn't have much meaning, because baptism doesn't save us. Baptism will give us that sense of security after we're saved, and we receive Christ. And again, I'm getting into the message. We'll get further into it. But baptism itself doesn't save us. Only faith in Christ Jesus does. So the point about this envelope is that if a person receives Christ and never follows through with baptism after they receive Christ, they're a little concerned about their commitment, how secure it is. That's the difference. A security in your commitment and in the blessing that God has for you. And how does that tie into most of you that are Christians that have been baptized, and is it relative to you today? Well, what I want you to think about this morning is the day you got baptized. And I want you to reflect on what it meant to you. Even though the blood of Christ washed away my sin and your sin when we received Christ, all of our sin, past, present, future, has been removed, taken away because of our faith in Christ. When I was baptized, my own personal testimony is that when I got out of that water, for some reason spiritually, I felt light. I felt like there wasn't a weight of any amount on my shoulders. I felt the full blessing and the richness of the fullness of the Spirit of God, and not the weight of sin or guilt or shame or anything. I was right with God. I was focused on God, and there was a joy and there's a freshness in my spirit in Christ. That's my testimony. And I hope that you experienced the same thing when you came out of those baptismal waters. But why is that important? Because I want you to remember that we're to maintain that. That's something that should be a regularity. Regularity? That sounds kind of odd. It should be something that is consistent in our walk. A freshness with Christ. And sure, we have times and we have weeks and we have challenges and we have frustrations and we have all this stuff, and we can list it all in front of us that bog us down. But that should challenge us even that much more to make sure that our heart is where God wants it to be. That we're doing what God would have us to do with a clear conscience before God, because that clear conscience will give us that freshness as well as that boldness in Christ. Through salvation, we are safe in Christ. We know that. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, you might ask the question, so does that mean that if you believe but you're not baptized, you won't be saved? No. Because we know that there are other scriptures that talk about the fact that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We know that the thief on the cross didn't have opportunity to get off the cross and get baptized, but he believed, and Jesus promised that he would be in paradise that day. He was saved through his faith in Christ as his Messiah. But in looking at this, we need to understand that when we believe, we have justification that by God. God the Father looks at us and says, we are now justified. We are now clean in the eyes of the Father. When we put our faith in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we confess our sin. We say, Lord, forgive me for being a sinner, and please forgive me for my sin, and come into my life. And he removes all the sin. He doesn't appease it, doesn't cover it up. He removes that sin from us, the effects of sin. And now when the Father looks at us because of our faith in Christ, because we're in Christ and he's in us, he sees us absolutely clean. And we have a right relationship with God. That's what happens when we believe. And we're saved. But I want to encourage you that when we're baptized, there is that added seal of assurance that our commitment was genuine. That's what's important. I've always told individuals, or even just talking in conversation when the subjects come up, if a person refuses to follow through with baptism, there's a red flag. Because it says, I'm not willing to make a public proclamation of my faith in Jesus, to live for him. But how does that affect you as a believer that's already been baptized, already saved? Not saved by the baptismal waters, but saved by faith in Christ, then baptized. How does that affect you? Remember where you were, what it was like, and what you're to maintain. In Romans 10:10-11, it says, for with the heart one believes, that's the word pistuon, and it means to rely on for one's spiritual well-being, right? For the heart of one believes unto righteousness, that's justification. I believe what Jesus did for me. He took the punishment for my sin. He died for me. He took the wrath of God for me. It was justly due to me, but Jesus took it away, that punishment away from me, because of my faith in him. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, he's justified, and with the mouth confession And that, it's interesting, confession is made known unto salvation. It's interesting that that confession, again, is like that seal. It's not the seal of the Holy Spirit, it's the seal of your conscience. Your conscience is being made secured. That hey, I made a decision to receive Christ, but I made a decision to make a public proclamation that I've not only received Christ, but that I'm dying to my old self and I'm going to live for God the rest of my life. And I'm serious about what it means, because that word confession there means to acknowledge or to confess, or confession is made, or to give thanks, or to promise. It's a promise to God. I promise that in front of all these other believers that I am going to live for the Lord, and I find joy in doing so. That's my goal. That's my priority. Remember how focused you were when you first received Christ? How focused you were on God? How focused you were when you got followed through in baptism and you realized that the presence of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Spirit of God on your life, blessing you because you were faithful and obedient to His command to believe and to be baptized. Verse 11 says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. We need to remember that God is on our side. That no matter what's stacked up against us in the world or in our personal lives, if God is for us, who can be against us? If we are committed to Him, we have made a public proclamation of that. We have not backed off, but we have made it plain to those that are around us that I believe in Jesus and who He is, that He's God's Son, that He died for me, and that He rose, and I asked Him to come in my life. Then there is the assurance of our salvation, we're saved, but through the baptism, there's the assurance of our commitment, our conscience. That's where I want to take us. Where is your conscience today before God? Is your conscience clear before God the way it was the day you were baptized? And if it wasn't when you were baptized, you weren't being baptized with the right focus. When a true believer, and a little insert there, you can fill it in if you want. When a true believer is baptized, what do I mean by true? When a person is genuinely received Christ, truly believes in Him. When a true believer is baptized, their lives will show evidence of their salvation, and they will know the protection and security they have in Christ. I know, and you know, as a believer, that we are saved, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that when we die, we're going to heaven. There's no question, that's secure. But also, I know, and you know, that our conscience is clear before God when we made a profession of faith before everyone publicly. When we said, because God blessed us for not being ashamed of Him. God blessed us for taking a stand for Him. God blessed us for being obedient to what He commanded, believe and be baptized. Because that baptism represented what? It represents your acknowledgement of receiving Christ, your willingness to lay down your life, the old person, and die to your old self, and when you came up out of the water, represented your new life. Right? The question is, do we live with a clear conscience living in the new life that God has called us to? Or do we revert back to the ways that we lived before we received Christ, before we were baptized? Or do we see ourselves progressing forward and growing in spiritual knowledge and wisdom and understanding and grace and in a deeper relationship that's personal with Jesus? Do we see ourselves becoming stronger and more steadfast, more committed to the Lord, rather than weakened or distracted from the Lord? These are things I want us to remember and to consider this morning, even as believers that have been baptized. I should say even more specifically so. Second thing I'd like us to consider is that our baptism is our conscience made clear. Or our, by our baptism, our conscience is clear. I didn't say that. It's not just Terry Glover interjecting something that kind of sounds good. But to help us to understand what's being said here, let's look at 1 Peter 3, verse 20, second part, verse 20, verse 20 through 21. When once the divine long-suffering, that's God, divine, long-suffering, enduring difficulty, enduring what was it that God endured before the flood? He endured holding back from wiping out the earth of all of its wickedness. He endured the pain of seeing what he created being desecrated by the evil ways of the world. And so verse 20, it says, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. You know, all these years I've read that, 8 souls, Noah's family, I know that, you know that, but what impacted me so much this time in reading it, I'm going, out of the whole world, 8 souls. We said, well, how do you know that? Well, because he said 8 souls. It was to save those that are faithful. And there are types of this throughout the Bible. How distressing that there were only 8 people out of all humanity who had faith in God. And they were saved through water, which is a picture of baptism. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh. And again, that's the moral flesh. That means the guilty conscience of sin. Not talking about that. All right? Not the removal of the filth of the flesh. No, I'm not talking about bath scum. You know, we tease the guys at the state prison when we baptize them. You know, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful picture there because the guys stand up. And I'm going to do this little rabbit just real briefly because I got to share with you. Okay? And we're talking about baptism, so it's still on target to a degree. Okay? But the guys get out, and the candidates in the baptismal, and 2 or 3 of the other guys will find passages in the Bible that deal with baptism, and that we are to die to ourselves, we live for Christ, we live a new life, and all these things. And they read each passage as it comes, and we ask God, do you want to live for Christ the rest of your life? Yeah, I do. Are you committed then? Yes, I am. You receive him, obviously, as your Savior. Yes, I have. Okay, my brother, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We put them under the water, we pull them up, and they all praise, and we sing, and maybe we have a few more scriptures after that. But then the guy gets out of the water, and they all say, man, look at that bathtub ring on that. You know, the idea is not that the baptism washes away the filth of the flesh. We're not looking for the ring around the tub. It's talking about the fact that that the antitype is the conscience here is being cleansed. A clear conscience before God. There's also an antitype which now saves us, that or protects us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Why is that a good conscience? Well, I know that Jesus told me to believe if I want to go to heaven, but if I want a clear conscience, I follow through with what he also said, be baptized. Because the baptism is a statement that says, I've already made a decision, but I'm sealing it as a public proclamation. I've made a commitment publicly for the Lord. And then, of course, it says through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A clear conscience, in your insert there, a clear conscience comes through a right heart with God. We have it when we receive Him. We have it, supposed to have it, when we're baptized. Unregrettably, people know the answers. They jump the hoops. They want to get baptized for whatever motive there is. I can ask them if they're saved and what their reason is, and it all sounds good and upright. They get baptized, and then you don't see them again. And I don't think that's uncommon, but it surely shows that they're not really committed to what they profess. And lastly, with a clear conscience, we become bold for Christ. He's been challenging you and me as believers in Christ to remember That even though these basic principles of receiving Christ and being baptized and making that public proclamation are basic Christian principles that we understand, there is a value in it when we are willing to remember to do what we all that we can in Christ to keep that clear conscience. Because if we keep the clear conscience, it empowers us to be bold for Christ. If I'm guilty, I'm not bold. If I'm ashamed, I back up and hide. If I got issues that aren't right with God, then it interferes with how God wants to use me for Him. So Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." You see, there's going to come a time right now, Satan is our adversary. The Greek word for adversary or accuser is Satan. Okay? And he goes, we don't understand this. We're talking about this in Yams. How is it that God, there's no shadow of darkness with God in His character? We know that. But how is it that in heaven, Satan, Lucifer, can approach God and accuse you and I by name before God? He accuses. I think it's the dumbest thing that there is. We're already saved. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Satan is constantly trying to grab us. And he's constantly going to the Lord and saying, they did this, they did that, they did that, so he could have some sort of claim on them. And the Lord constantly reminds them, they're clean, they're clean, they're clean, they're clean, they're clean because of their faith in me. Now, if Jesus is defending us before the accuser, Satan, in heaven today, we should do our best to keep our conscience clear before God here. But one day, Satan will be cast out of heaven and no longer go before him to accuse. And I really honestly think that that will happen when the church is taken up out of the world, the rapture of the church, the snatching of the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ out of the world. At that point, Satan's going to go and pursue everyone that does put their faith in Christ after the rapture. And he's going to give them everything he can to knock them down. And that's what this verse in Revelation 12:11 is talking about. But it gives you and I a message. You see, those that are being attacked by the accuser, that doesn't go before the Lord anymore, but out to destroy them, they overcame him, Satan, Lucifer. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. You can't touch me. I belong to the Lord. You have no claim on my life. My life belongs to God. Get out of my face. Jesus bought me with His precious blood. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. What was the word of their testimony? What's the testimony? It is a witness. It is a report. It is something to, again, bear witness to. What were Christians, what are we seeing in prophecy here that applies to you and I here? That as Christians, if we stand in Christ as God intends for us to stand in Him, as clean, as believing in Him, which we do, and keeping our conscience clear this side of heaven with Him, then we stand boldly on the word against the enemy, and we overcome him. We do not have to be steamrolled by the enemy. And they did not love their lives to the death. You know what that means? They did not love their lives more than they loved God. You know what that means? They did not love themselves more than being willing to die a physical death for Jesus. Many have been martyred in history. In the 20th century, there have been more Christian martyrs than in the entire history that we know of. In the 21st century, that has escalated. 8,000 Christians statistically today, every month, are being killed, if not more, and slaughtered because of their testimony, because of the word that they stand true to Jesus. Are you at that commitment to stand for Jesus? Are we so easily overcome by the things that we face in life in America today that we that our eyes shift from God to our situation so fast that we don't feel that protective security and blessing and of God in our life. Because we're not looking at Him, we're looking at everything else. And will it take America falling even more and persecution of Christians to have a greater increase in America for true Christians to be seen for where they stand? By true, I mean that. Committed to Him. With a clear conscience, we know who we are in Christ, we overcome the enemy by faith, and we're willing to live for Him even if it means dying. And the truth is, if we really want to live for Him, we must die to ourselves and yield ourselves to Christ. When our souls are saved, let us learn not to love our own lives, but to love Christ as our Savior. And I'm going to add, even if it means dying for Him. When our souls are saved and our conscience is clear before God, we are bold for Christ. You want to be a bold Christian for Christ? Keep your conscience clear. Be right with God. Stand firm in Him. And you'll see the boldness. And God will be glorified. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank You for each one here this morning. I trust in You, dear Holy Spirit, to accomplish what You want to do in my life and each of our lives, that we would be obedient to what You have, that as believers in Christ, we would keep our clear conscience before You moment by moment throughout each day, that when we see ourselves stumble in sin, that we will immediately address it, acknowledge it before You, and repent of it. Whenever anything comes into our mind that's not of God, that's not pleasing to You, Father, that temptation, whatever it might be, that we would not dwell on it, but that we would bring our thoughts captive unto You. And help us, Father, to be those Christians in this world who are not distracted by the world we live in, but that are truly focused on You and Your will and Your purpose in our lives every day, that we might bear light and be salt as You called us to. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.